Thank you. So I am teaching, but I want you know, when Mike said something, he said that about the Father's love, and I wanted to tell a story. So I'm going to do a teaching and a story, and it's going to wind up probably at some point with me crying. So I just want you to be prepared for that moment. So 35 years ago, I was 22. And I was living in Northern California, and I was living on a farm, and I took care of babies that were born with AIDS. It was a monastic community, and I loved my job. I lived on like 300 acres of land in Mendocino County. I took care of cows, I did the whole thing. And previous to that, I had had this spiritual experience with the Lord, and in it, the Lord had spoken to me very clearly, "You know who I am, but you don't know my son." And I didn't, you know, so I started reading all these books. None of them were the Bible. It was like Jesus Christ, Son of Man, Jesus is the Son of God, all these books. And it was pretty intentional, but it still, I wasn't like, it wasn't going from my head to my heart. You know what I mean? And so at that point, so then I moved to Northern California, and in that place, I then worked with foster kids, and I worked in a foster kid home. And honestly, I'll be honest, it was like my least favorite job in my life. It was a really hard job, and it was emotionally really taxing. And again, I lived up in like the Redwoods at that point. And I had this experience. I was exhausted, and I'd come home from work. It was New Year's Day, and the Lord said to me, so I was listening to this song. So I had a friend, and she was disabled, and we had this running joke because I also worked for 10 years at a camp in Malibu for disabled kids and adults ages 7 to 90, and I did it for 10 years, and my goal in life was to take over this camp. Like, that's what I was working for. I wanted that job. And so I went every year. And then when I turned 18, I didn't just go for 3 months, I went for 6 months. So I'd work temp jobs, and then I would go to camp, and I'd work at camp, and I loved camp. And so, you know, you work as a counselor, then you take over all the female staff, then you take over all the staff. And the person below the camp director is the activities director. And so, I had gotten that position. So I'm kind of winding around a little bit. And so I loved camp. And in that position, the youth know this, so sorry you guys, you're hearing it again. But I had gotten that position. And I went to Hawaii, so I'm again going all over. So this is sorry, I'm emotional today. It took me like seriously forever to pick out my jeans between the dark jeans and the light jeans. And I was crying. And I was looking for Timbrell, who had left already. And so Abe had to help me pick out my light jeans or my dark jeans. I'm like, "Abe." And he's like, "Well, can you hold them up in front? Now, can you put like the dress in front of it?" He's like, "Can you ask Timbrell? She's like the fashionista." I'm like, "She's gone. It's you, dark or light." So that's kind of like emotionally where I'm at. it's true. So anyway, I'm trying Father's love, how I got here. So I'm going to go back to the farm. So at the farm, I'd like start having these prophetic dreams, which I didn't know they were prophetic dreams. And I started like, "You need to learn about my son." So I started in one of my dreams, it said, "Read the book of Matthew." So I started reading the book of Matthew. And basically, I got stuck on Sermon on the Mount, and the Lord was saying, "Hey, if you want to live following me, do these are your rules. Do these things in your life." And I was like, "All right, I'll do these things," you know. And so then I had committed my, so my friend gave me this tape, back to the tape, and we had a running joke. That's how we got to camp. I'm following my trail now. And so her mom would make her mix tapes, which young generations, it is like an old school thing, Guardians of the Galaxy, it's a mix tape. But her mom would make her these mix tapes, and her mom didn't know how to do it, so all the songs would skip. So she'd hit the song with skip, 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 skip. And so she sent a tape ahead of time because she was going to come visit me. And it was 1 hour of the song Desperado by the Eagles skipping. And I was in such a bad place. I laid on the floor after my New Year's Day, after doing my overnight at the foster place, crying, listening to Desperado skipping, 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 skipping. And so at the end of it, I'm crying. And this voice says to me, have you proven you can't do it on your own? And I was like, yep. Because what I didn't tell you is on my way home that morning, I'd also driven my car into a ditch. And I lived up a mountain road that was one lane for both places. And there were no cell phones. So I had to walk a mile home at like 5 in the morning in the dark with my car in a ditch. And I was like, my life sucks. And pretty much my life sucked. That was like not an exaggeration. So then the voice says, I had to go deal with the ticket the next day at the courthouse on the 2nd. And the voice said, when you get there, I want you to get a newspaper. And in the back, there's ads. So before there's LinkedIn and before there was all that, there was newspapers. And in the back of the newspapers are the want ads. What want ads are, you get anything. You get a wife, you get a job, you get a car, you get a house. You could get anything you wanted in the want ads. And they would tell you where you lived with your phone number. All of it was there, free for all. And it's like going to the back, and in the back page, the 3rd row over, 4th row up, I want you to take that job. And so that was the job at the monastery. And at the same time, when he was, the voice, the Lord was saying, I want you to give me your life. I want your life. And I was like, all right. Like, I didn't really have a lot going on. Obviously, my life sucked. I hadn't done a great job. I'm like 21, and this is like, right? And so I'm like, all right. And so I did. I took that job. I called them. I went. It was like 1 hour on the 1 from Sonoma County to Mendocino County up in the hills at a place called Starcross Community. And that's when I started having these dreams. And so one day I was out with the cows, and I was there's going to be a Bible verse in here because my husband said on Sundays especially it's very important to have a Bible verse at church. So if we don't follow the teaching, you should take it home because it's super awesome. And I will have a Bible verse before you go home so you can meditate on that. So I drove and I got the job. And then I love the job. Okay, so far I've loved all my jobs except for that one. And I am thinking, all right, I could do this. Like, if I'm going to do something, I'll do this. This works. And as soon as I decide that, I get a very strong feeling, and it's the Lord. So I'm doing the whole Matthew thing. I'm trying to figure it all out. And said, I want you to go back to Orange County. I was like, no, absolutely not. And the Lord said, I want you to go back to Orange County. I'm like, hell no. H-E, double hockey sticks, zero, no, bad idea. And for the 3rd time, he said, you said you would do what I asked you to do, and I want you to go back. And I was like, I hate this job. like, this hole isn't working out for me right now, right? And so it was very reluctant and with a very, very bad attitude that I came down back to Orange County. I didn't go as far as Orange County. I went to Southern California. And I was working up in L.A. County. And I worked for a girl who had muscular dystrophy, and I was working in East LA, and she lived in a house that was condemned. And so she lived with her grandma, and she had a wheelchair. And what would happen, I said, God, and is going to, I'm going to rewatch this. I'm going to be like, how many times can you say the word and, Aaron? And so, see, now you're going to start counting my ands. Duh. She would have a wheelchair. So the house was like this. And if she took her wheelchair from this end of the house and drove it to this end, the house would literally tilt like that. She could only go to this part of the house, and then she'd have to stop. And there was cold running water, but not hot. So, and I'm pretty good, as like the youth know, I'm honestly pretty good with, I adapt incredibly well. It is one of my gifts. I do adapt pretty well. And Yeah, there it is again. So my mom calls me. I'm living up there. I do not want to move to Orange County. I grew up in a home that was violent and angry and addicted, and I hated it. And I did not want to go back to Orange County. Sorry. And I knew the Lord was calling me. So what I didn't tell you is when the Lord called me to come back here, I had a car. And I knew if I drove my car home, I would leave. So I left my car on the side of the road, true story, with the keys in it. And I took a bus home. And see, you're resonating with me, right? I didn't have a car. And my mom calls me in LA, and she said, I found a church. I think you're supposed to go to this church. I want you to come home Sunday and go to this church. I was like, I don't really want to go to that church. She goes, you're supposed to go to this church. And I took a train home, and I went to the church. And it was Ed's church. And it was when it was at the high school. And I walked into the church, well, high school auditorium. And the Lord said, this is where I want you to stay. I want you to stay here. And don't leave until I tell you to leave. And that was 35 years ago. So I moved down, again, not very willingly. I'm just going to say it was not with a big smile. It was to the point where my mom literally said, Aaron, if you cannot get it together, you need to move out. You are depressing everyone. Like, we get you don't want to be here. And if it really was God who told you, get a better attitude, because my attitude sucked. So I kind of got a better attitude, and that is where I began my journey with the Lord, and I began learning the Father's love. Because when I was 8, my dad died. And I was raised by a single mom. Shout out to single moms. And I didn't really know the Father's love. I didn't understand what it meant to be a daughter. I didn't understand what it meant to have a voice. And I began this journey. And I've been on this journey this whole time. So when I started youth ministry, not my phone, so I better pick it up. Could be important. I don't even know. Vivian's here. I don't know. Where are you, Vivian? How long ago? So we were at Ed's church. And we started that group. So Vivian's here, and she was part of the first group of girls that I ever did ministry with. And it was 4 of us. And John Barnett's daughter was in it, and she did worship and a guitar. And it's just evolved. And sometimes there's 5 kids, and sometimes there's 50 kids, but there's always a kid. And there's always a kid that needs to be loved and needs Jesus. So that's kind of my story. I also have another story. So I met Brent, and the Lord told me I was going to marry him, and we got in this fight, and I'm like, I'm done. Like, I'm super done, and I'd been going to this small group with Laura Drinkwater. Raise your hand, Laura. Right there. Went to a small group with Laura Drinkwater, and I'm like, I'm done. And she's like, Aaron, I just really feel like the Lord is telling me that it's not over with you and Brent. I'm like, Laura, I literally looked at her. I'm like, Laura, that is a bad word. That is a bad word, and I don't think that's the Lord. And she's like, and she's so nice. She's like, well, I think maybe it is. And then, of course, she was at my wedding, so there you go. Sometimes the Lord will give you words you don't want, but it works out. I'm sorry, Brent. Just facts right there. So that is my walk through then till now. And when I started youth ministry, so the whole thing about camp, I'll end with that and then start the teaching. What time is it? So the whole thing about camp was that was my goal. So even after I started doing, like, meeting with the girls and doing some kind of high school group, my goal was still to run camp. And I'd gotten that job as activities director. And I knew the next step was director. And my plan was to move to Malibu and run that camp. And I went to Hawaii. Maybe someone should just start tagging when I say and we could just gather that info at the end. That would be 49. Who's counting? Wait, who said me? Aiden, you're such a good counter. I love that you're Abe's friend. We got the guy who helps with clothing and the other one that counts. It's just like a tag team right there. It's a win. So I was in Hawaii visiting my sister, and I had a dream, and the Lord was very clear. He said, I want you to leave camp and go to the church, and everything you've put into camp, I want you to put into youth ministry. And I was, my usual response, no. I feel like the Lord is just so full of bad ideas. Like, you have no idea my walk with him. I'm like, dude, that's another bad idea. We're just tagging him up here, Lord. What the heck? You know? I'm like, no. And it just came, and he said again, you said you would do whatever I asked you to do. And thank you. Who said that? I love you. And so, right? Ouch. So I knew I wouldn't do it, like my car situation. So I, back then, we didn't have cell phones again. We had pay phones. And if you didn't have money, you called, does anyone remember? Collect. This is the operator. Will you receive a collect call from Aaron McIntosh? Yes. Great. I'm letting you know that I will not be at camp. Hey, Luke's come to join the fun. Scoot over. Let him in. Aiden. There it is. What's up? So I called collect, and I knew I was supposed to be there in 3 days, and I knew I was leaving them high and dry, and I knew I was letting go of the biggest dream I ever had. Sorry. And so I called collect, and I told them, and I cried the rest of the way home because it was a puddle jumper, so I went from Kauai to Oahu and then back, and I made the collect call from Oahu. Because I knew if I'd made it all the way home, I wouldn't have made the call. I would have talked myself out of it. And so that's what I did. And I've literally been here ever since. I remember going to the Lorenzo's house, shout out over there, dropping their daughter Natalie off from high school group, watching cartoons at 11:30 at night in their living room. They'd come out, they're like, what are you doing? We're like, watching cartoons. Like, all right. And so, yeah, and that's how I ended up here. I don't know why I told you all that, but it was fun. So, in the whole thing, too, I've been really trying with this teaching, and I didn't know why it was so hard. And it's so funny because, was it John? Where's John? Did you say it should be called a graduation? And so John said, I think it's supposed to be called a graduation. And I felt like that resonated with me because I feel that feeling in my heart of I've done this for so long. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I don't know what the next step is. I just know it's time to turn things over to another generation. And in that, I thought, I was sitting in the car yesterday, and I felt like the Lord said, how do you really feel, Aaron? And I thought, I feel so grateful. I am so incredibly grateful to you, to Mike and Janice, to Ed and Janet, for raising me so well, for loving me so well, for blessing me. And I'm so grateful to the youth community for all the years. I can't explain it to you all. I'm not going to play that because it's a song I've been listening to on repeat. Not a worship song. But as much as I've given to youth, youth has given to me. In some of my most difficult, painful times, youth has been my anchor. They have been my community. I know it sounds weird, but if I was going to be my most authentic self, it was usually in youth ministry. Like, they've for sure seen me at my worst. I probably have some kind of swear jar somewhere for them. I have to say sorry to Brooke all the time. They've seen me cry. They've seen me mad. They've seen my testimony. They've seen me walk it out well and not well sometimes. But we've lived in community. And I've lived in community with the next generation for 33 years. And I've watched an amazing thing. I've seen people reach their potential and go beyond. I've seen them find themselves and who they are. I've seen them get married. I've seen them not get married. I've seen them have children, foster children, raise up ministries, walk into and lead worship in other places, become pastors, become husbands and wives and parents and single people. All of it. And all the time, I feel like I think they know who they are. I think they know who they are, and in knowing who they are, I think they know who they are in Jesus. And I think that in that, like, I like a real relationship with Jesus. My relationship, obviously, as you've heard, is pretty real. I get mad at him. He never gets mad at me. I'm pretty sure he's wrong. He knows he's always right. We have worked these situations out. And there are times when I'm not ready. I don't want to do this. I'm mad, and I don't like how this is panning out. I don't like pain. I don't want to be hurt, and I don't want to hear one person tell me, it's going to be okay, God has a plan. I'm like, you know what? His plan sucks. Because if I'm living it, where are we going with this? So, and on the other side of it, I have, you know, that's part of my relationship with the Lord. And part of my relationship with the Lord is it's amazing. I've walked out some amazing things. I've seen him do amazing things. I've seen him show up and heal people and bless people and deliver people. I've seen so many things, and I hope that that's what they take. I hope that they know they can wrestle with God because it creates a real thing. Amen. And so with that, we're going to start out here. If life was a potluck, what are you going to bring to the table? See? I love you too. So I like to do this thing where we do it once a week. I shout out a question to on our family thread, and it's just like a rando question, like if clouds had a flavor, what would they taste like? Like, this is non-meaning chocolate, cotton candy. So in this, I also do this thing like randomly, this is what I do with my own time. If I was a restaurant, what restaurant would I be? I would be Ramos House. It changes. It closes early. It's not late. It's fun. It's seasonally. It's by the railroad track. So I think about it. If I was a piece of clothing, what would I be? I'd be a house coat. I've thought about these things. It's good for a coat, a sweater. It could be like a robe. It's long. It's covering. I like that. So I'm like, I'd be a house coat. So, you know, what piece of clothing would you guys be? So in this, my question to you, and I want you to share it. We're going to start interactively. If you were a dish at a Thanksgiving meal, what dish would you be? Not bring, be. I'm going to tell you, I also would be pumpkin pie, but I thought I'd be maybe a bougie pumpkin pie. I saw like a bourbon brulee pumpkin pie. I'm like, I'll do that one. Okay, so I want you to take a second, think about it, and tell somebody what dish you would be and why. Go ahead. Go ahead. Everyone got to do this. Isaac, hand me my coffee. Okay.
I can't participate back there, so I have to come out here for this.
John, if you were a dish at a Thanksgiving meal, what dish would you be?
I think I'd be turkey.
He'd be a main dish. You see what that is right there? Main dish. I like that, right? Aiden.
Yeah. Gravy.
Why?
I don't know.
See, that's important. You got to know yourself. Why? Let's hit it over here. What dish would you be? Yeah.
Pumpkin pie.
Why?
Because it represents the occasion.
Right? Traditional. I like that. You like that, huh? All right, let's do somebody over here.
Go ahead. Tabbouleh.
Oh, I do love a good tabbouleh, right? My husband doesn't love tabbouleh as much as I do, but this is going to be like the prime one. Let's just come right over here. I wonder where we're going. Pastor Mike, if you were a dish at Thanksgiving, what would you be?
Lemon pie.
What? We got the tabbouleh and the lemon pie. You know what? I'll go with that. So the whole point in that is that you all are going to be something different. That's what we do at youth ministry. That's what the whole church should be doing. You're not going to be the same. I don't want to go to a Thanksgiving thing and have nothing but turkey. Nobody does. You know, maybe we want to go to Pastor Mike's and have lemon pie only. I don't know. Maybe. I'm going to say a pie bar, okay? So have you ever stopped to ask, what do you really bring to the table? What did God make in you that is unique that needs to be at that table? It's very important that we fill this table. In this day and age, we need to fill a table. Everyone's invited to the table, but not everybody brings the same thing. Some will bring main dishes, John, some sides. We have the tabbouleh, some sweetness, Mike's lemon pie, and some just show up. Some don't have a family, some don't have anywhere to go, and they show up. And we want those people. I'm going to say Lorenzo's might bring wine. But Bruce also might bring wine. I don't know. I'm just saying maybe. Okay, I'm going back. Lorenzo's get to bring wine. I'm not stealing that from you. Do you know who you are, and do you know who you're not? So can we put up the Joshua one, please? Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or against us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied. So this moment is called a Christophany. I think I'm saying that right. And that is when there's a presence that's like an angel, but it represents Jesus. Okay? And so basically, he's running up to Jesus, and he's saying to Jesus, "Are you for us or against us?" So he's like, "Whose side are you on, God?" And he's like, "Neither. Whose side are you on?" Right? He is not taking sides. That is pivotal in our culture, in our age, in everything that's going on. You can believe what you want to believe, but you take one side. That is his. What is he doing? Who has he put in front of you? Who is he calling you to bless? Because that is pivotal to him. It is absolutely pivotal to him, because I was resonating with this. So what message does my Lord have for his servant? "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did. And so the whole point is like, don't get distracted by everything else. Where am I? Where am I? Like, when you leave someone, is it more important for them to know what you believe, what you think, what you're doing, or is it more important for them to know the love of Jesus through you? That's our highest call. It's really our only call. So in that, in saying that, do you know who you are? Do you know who he is? What is he saying? What does he think about you? Are you for us or against us? He's like, neither. Are you going to surrender to me, to who I've made you to be, to who I've called you to be, to what I am doing? Don't get distracted, because it's important. Because just like Brent was praying, it's the one. When we do the youth ministry, it's the one. We had so at the bottom it says, before you show up at a potluck, you decide what you're bringing. So at the Lord's potluck, let's just pretend, he already knew what he was bringing. He brought you. You were it. He put that like and dislike in you. Everybody likes something different. And he did it on purpose. You're not an accident. What you're all about is not an accident. The things you like and don't like, none of that's an accident. How you process it, that's you. But who you are is him. It's very important to know this. How you love well, that's your call. But how you work it out. But you're called to love. And it's a hard thing to work out, to be honest. It's hard to love people who are different. It's hard to love ourselves when we're not who we want to be. You know? But it is what it is. You know, we are who we are. And I think that that's effective because I think that in it, sometimes we, what were the three B's, Brent? Answer that phone, y'all. It could be an emergency. Believe, behave, belong. And so I guess Bruce just did something like this. And so what happens in church sometimes is that we want people to behave the right way, right? Behave what? Believe. Then we want them to believe, and then we'll let them belong. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Wrong. No. That's not how Jesus works. He wants us to belong, right? First. And so that's important. So the next thing is, are you willing to be your truth self even when it's costly? So I'm actually going to back up on this. So in that whole thing, we had an experience a few weeks ago with some of our girls in youth ministry. And there was a young girl on the side of the road, and she was crying. She didn't go to our church. And they stopped, and they prayed for her. First they said, do you want to come to our youth group? And she's like, no. And they prayed for her, and then she said, I'll go to your youth group. And so she came to our youth group. And a whole thing unfolded, and she was a homeless girl. And a whole transaction happened. You know, who knows how that's going to end. But where I stood on that was, good on you, girls. Good being Jesus. Good showing up and loving well. It's not easy when it takes you out of your comfort zone and you don't know how you're going to be received. But it's so important that we be Jesus. You know, we're not our Jesus. We show Jesus. You know, none of you are Jesus. I just need to be clear. I'm not Jesus. Isaac Trevieso is not Jesus. Brent's not Jesus. But we carry him. And we give him. So are you willing to be your true self even when it's costly? For if you remain, so this is Esther 4:14, and I like this. So most people do like you're for such a time as this kind of a thing, which I love that too. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. I hope nobody's family dies. And who knows but that you have come for your royal position for such a time as this. And I love that because for if you remain silent at this time, deliverance and relief will come. The Lord will answer those prayers, but it will come from someone else. And I just think, gosh, I hope that gives us that fear of the Lord. I never want to miss that opportunity. I never want to miss that moment when that one person experiences Jesus. When I can sit and hang out with someone when you love well. And so Esther had to bring her own dish to the table. No one else could offer what she had. She could have stayed silent and blended in or tried to serve someone else's recipe. But she showed up as fully as herself for such a time as this. So in that whole thing, I was really thinking about it. Every person in this room was designed by God to be right here in this room at this moment, period. He knew you would be right here right now. And there's a reason you're here right now. I mean, I don't know what it is. I hope it's a good reason. But he knew, and he knew you were here for this time, in this generation, at this season. It's so amazing and so pivotal, the transition and the change that the Lord's doing, even on the face of the church. He's changing the way church is. He's creating something. He's not changing who he is, and he's not changing his word, and he's not changing what he has and what he's done. But he is going to change what it looks like. It's just like, you know, everyone does an update, right? We all want to redecorate sometimes, get some new paint. You look at place and you're like, oh, that's dated. So the Lord's just doing an upswing, you know? It's a good thing. So are you willing to be your true self? After 33 years in youth ministry, the goal was never to make copies, but to raise originals. Authenticity gives others permission to be real. So I think in that whole thing, when I was talking about my relationship with the Lord, what my hope is and what I've learned from the Lord is when I gravitate toward people, it's usually people who are real. It's not people I don't feel safe to be myself in front of. And so I hope that in this, that we give people permission to be authentic, to be who they really are. Amen. With the Lord and with other people. Because if you recognize this, it's not how well we do, but sometimes how far we've come or what our story is. The Bible says we overcome with the blood of the Lamb and our testimony. Our testimony is pivotal, and it's not always, it's the highs and the lows. It's the whole picture that gives people permission to be real and authentic. And in that, I feel like with the Lord can work with the truth. He can't work with a bunch of lies. So if our truth isn't really out there, it's a lot harder. And I think this generation resonates with that. They're looking for that. Last point, who are you loving, training, releasing to take their place at the table? I think that if you're not doing one of those things, you might not be walking in what the Lord has for you. I believe every person, no matter what your age is, should be loving, training, and releasing someone. Amen. I believe that that's your call, is to show up. So Matthew said, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God. Oh, sorry, put up Matthew. Thank you. I love you, Lana. I already know where my phone is, though. Lana helps me find my phone and my keys literally all the time. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think that it's something that we all know, I think everybody knows it, but it's a lot harder to live it, in all honesty. It's hard to sometimes love. I remember I was driving one time and the Lord said, do you want to know what my compassion feels like? And I thought, oh no. I know it sounds terrible, but in that moment I thought, his compassion feels like taking on absolutely everything he took on the cross. That intense compassion. And I thought, I don't think I can do that. That's a lot. It's way bigger than me. And but I can have compassion for the people in front of me. And then I wonder if I'm going to do that. What does it look like to have compassion for myself? You know, I was talking to one of my kids, and I was like, I think I've said this to the youth too, maybe at some point at different times, what does it look like for you to love yourself the way you're loving somebody else? What is it like for you to have grace for you the way you would have grace for someone else? Because sometimes we're okay with someone else's pain or problem or whatever, but not as much for ourselves. And I think that it's so important that we have that moment of, it's okay. Because when it's not okay, it's a lot harder to get up and dust yourself off, isn't it? It's a lot harder. Because that fear of failure just riddles you. You know, it just beats you up, man. It will remind you every single time what you did wrong, how you did it wrong, where you did it wrong, who you did it wrong to. And it's relentless. And the enemy knows it. And he will beat you up. And then once he's done and he knows he's done a good enough job, he'll just hand you the stick and you just beat yourself up. And the job's done, right? And then we're not good for anything. So I think in that whole loving, it's the key. If we can do those things, three things, love God, love people, love yourself. If we can do three things, we've got it made. You're literally living the gospel. Three things. Love God, Love people. Love yourself. And that is so hard. And it is everything the world needs. And it is everything you carry inside of you. Everywhere you go. There is no better opportunity than right now. You're sitting next to someone who needs God's love. You're in a place that resonates with it. You're going to leave here and you're going to interact with another person that needs God's love. And maybe they are not very nice. Maybe you're not very nice. I mean, I have not been very nice. There have been times when my kids are like, and they'll be extra nice to the person I'm not being nice to. Like, thank you so much. Isaiah will do it for me. I'll be like, and my daughter will be literally be like, Mom, I can feel you being irritated with the way they're packing your groceries. I'm like, they're so slow. And look, did you see the way they did that? Like, literally, I am that person. I'm not normally OCD, but I am a really good grocery packer. Like, it is a gift. I also pack dishwashers amazing. It is, like, is beautiful. I should take a picture and send it to you. I wish I took pictures to show you guys. It's true. And my kids will know me so well, they're literally be like, they can see what the person's doing, and they're next to me, and they're like, oh, like, just don't do it, Mom. Don't do it. This is a nice person. It's not a big deal. It's just a grocery bag. And then, like, Isaiah will be like, hi, how are you? How's your day? I'm like, oh, pay for it. Walk out. And he's like, Mom. I'm like, I know. I'm sorry. So my whole point is, maybe it's them. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're not having a good day, and you have a bad attitude. Right? I mean, that's truth. We all have that. So even in that place, can we be nice? We can try. Even when we're like that, can we be nice? Make good choices. Right? Even if they're not being nice, can we be nice? So I don't know. That's a nice question. So I'm going to land on this. There's a book, maybe some of you guys have heard, it's called Quo Vadis. And I actually have the tattoo on my arm, it says Quo Vadis. And in my life, I've had a lot of loss. I've lost a lot of people that I really love. And all the time, so I also have, my tattoo is on one side, it says Quo Vadis, and on the other side, upside down, it says Wake Up. Because there's a point when I go through loss that I kind of go to sleep emotionally. I just go to sleep. I don't want to be awake. I don't want to know what's happening. Sorry. And at some point, the Lord will say to me, Aaron, it's time to wake up. You've been asleep. You got to wake up. And sometimes I'm good with it, and sometimes, like, I don't want to wake up. I don't want to figure this out. And so, Quo Vadis means, where are you going? And there's a book called Quo Vadis, and it was written in 1896 by a Polish guy named Henryk. I cannot say his last name. And it's a historical fiction and a love story about a Roman guy and a Christian girl. And it is true, like, in Nero's time. So it goes through, and it's really a great adaptation of the whole what life was like for Christians in that time. And so this is a kind of a famous line from the book. And what it is Peter had been captured, and they were going to, you know, crucify Peter. And if you know, like, the life of the saints and that kind of a thing, well, I guess the apostles, Peter was... They were going to crucify him, and he did not, like the legend goes, he didn't want to be crucified the way Jesus was, so they asked him to turn the cross upside down. So he was crucified upside down. So before that, in this book, Peter's followers get him out of jail. They break him out. And so he's not going to get crucified because they don't want to lose their leader at that point. And so Peter's leaving Rome, and he walks into Jesus, and he says, Domini, Quo Vadis, Jesus, where are you going? And Jesus said, well, I'm going back in there, and I'm basically going to do this. So it's like the thing with Esther, even if you don't do this, it's going to happen. And so Peter goes back and he gets crucified. And so, like, basically it's a story about surrender. I'm not saying that's what y'all should do. And when I think about it, and I think about serving the Lord and realizing sometimes when the Lord calls you to do something, it may not be what you want. My life is obviously riddled with a series of things that I did not want to do that obviously worked out pretty well. But when I did not want to come back from Northern California and I fought it, the Lord knew I would be right here, right now. He knew the 35 years that he had planned for me. He knew in those 33 years of youth ministry how many youth I would get to know, how many lives I would be a part of, how many families I would be a part of, how many people I would partner with for highs and lows. And I never could have imagined it. And so when sometimes the Lord says, wake up, where are you going, Aaron? Where are you going? And I just have to surrender and say, where are you going? Because I need to follow that. And I believe that's something that I want everybody in this room to do. And I want the next generation to do. Even if it's hard, Lord, where are you going? Quo vadis? Where are you going? Because it's so important that we go where he's going and we do what he does. It's what we're called to. So, and I'm also not saying everyone should get a tattoo of Quo Vadis. Okay? Okay, it's a funny story. So the Starks, Naomi and Ivy's mom, we did rocks at our last one. So some of you guys were there. So we did a youth service, and a bunch of us got together, a bunch of the youth, and we wrote on rocks, like as a symbol kind of a thing. And one of my sassy children wrote on one of the rocks, get more tattoos. Isaiah. And so he wrote, get more tattoos. And so then Ava Stark got that rock, and she thought the Lord was like saying, like, you know, we know you don't like tattoos, but maybe you should like be okay with them. And I go, Ava, that is not the Lord. That was my son being sassy, and I missed that rock because I took out all the other sassy ones. Anyway, so that's not what I'm saying at all. So my last part is the personal reflections. What has God placed in your hands to bring to the table? What do you have right now in your life that you can bring to the table? Because everybody has something. You know, the whole thing, when people say things like this to me, I'm not ready. I'm going to pray about it. Like, I love that you're not ready, and I love that you're going to pray about it. But I've also experienced in my life that those are also excuses to not do stuff. I'm just being honest, straight up. I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it. Some of you are legit. You're really praying about it. And I love that you're legit and praying about it. Some of us are like, I'm going to go home and pray about that. Like, no, you're not. You're like going to go to Trader Joe's and get some food and go home and watch a show. Okay? Let's be honest. Okay. Are you bringing your true self or someone else's version of you? Are you being you, or are you being what someone told you you should be? When I first came to the Lord and really started walking, I had a lot of people help me and tell me what I should be like, because I know I'm a little shoots from the hip person. I can be a little bit like raw. Raw is a little intense of a word, but I just don't really care that much what people think. And so I feel like Orange County is a place that really cares what people think. Yeah. We really care. We care a lot. And I really just don't. And so I think that I spent a lot of time trying to fix that in myself. I tried to become what other people thought I should be. And it did not work out very well for me. It was not a good fit. I was like David in Saul's clothes. This is ridiculous. I cannot do ministry being somebody else. You cannot do ministry being someone else. You cannot affect people the way you're supposed to if you're trying to be something you're not. It will never, ever work out. And the other thing that it will never do is it will never stick. And what you want is you want what God's given you to stick. You want your DNA from the vineyard. You want your DNA from this church. You want your DNA to affect people. Period. Always. It matters who you are, and it will never stop mattering. And even after you die, it should still be affecting people. My mom died. My dad died. My son-in-law died. I have a lot of dying. All of those people still affect my life on a daily basis. Their legacy and what they left still affects me. It drives who I am, and it sets me free. And Jesus gave those people to me on purpose. Ava, you're here. Remember your rock? She has it in her front yawn. I didn't know you were here. So cute. Anyway, she's the one that has the Get Tattoos rock. Right over there. What? And so, I forgot what I was saying. What was I saying? DNA. People still affect me. You should still be affecting people forever, for eternity, because you carry something that affects people for all eternity. You're not just here for the day. This is a marathon. This is a lifespan. This is eternity. We're doing this. Everything you put out there, it keeps going. It's not a thud. So what are you bringing, your true self or someone else's version of you? Who is God asking you to release or empower? Again, I cannot emphasize this a month. I don't care if it's your Trader Joe's person. I have Starbucks people. I have people everywhere. I love my people. I don't know their names. I have no idea where they live. But they're my people. I see them all the time. I love them. If I have a word for them, I give it to them. If I feel like there's something wrong, I ask them if I can pray for them. And I get my drink and I go home. It's not like this overthought thing. It just is. If they're in my life and they're in my presence, they're my people, and that's the person the Lord wants me to affect. If you go somewhere today, Ivy, and you see someone, the Lord has you to affect them. There's a reason that you're in that place at that time with that person, period. What are you going to do with that? And I'm not saying, like, bring out a tambourine and be weird and do this whole thing. I'm saying be nice. Be nice. Hi. Don't be like me when the people bag the bags wrong. Don't be Aaron. Be nice. Hey, have a great day. How are you doing? That's it. It changes people. Okay. And those are the people you're going to release and empower. Maybe you're going to change their day because you were actually nice. Maybe they had a crappy morning. Maybe they had a fight with someone. Maybe whatever. Maybe. Maybe you did. Maybe it's a clash. I don't know. You don't know. But when you do that, you empower them. You bless them to bless someone else. Just because, remember when that whole thing was going on where people would, like, pay it forward and you'd, like, be in line at Starbucks and, like, you get up there and they'd be like, all the guy in front of you paid for your drink. And I'm like, yes. And then they're like all waiting to see, are you going to pay it forward? And you're like, oh, dude, did they get a whole bunch of stuff? Like, I only got a coffee. Like, did they get, like, breakfast and coffees and treats and everything? And, like, my thing was, like, $3. And, like, their thing's going to be, like, $40. I'm like, oh, Jesus, help me. Should I keep paying it forward or not? And sometimes I did, and sometimes I broke the chain. Guy, I'm being accountable. But do you remember? But it's the same idea. Just do it. Be nice. You know, if you get that inkling, the Lord says, hey, maybe pay for their groceries. Pay for their groceries. Because it's way easier than the guilt you're going to ride home with, sit home with, go to bed with, and think, gosh, I should have bought their groceries. Just buy them. Save yourself the trip, dude. This one time, I'm just going to end with this. Seriously. The Lord told me to pray for a guy at Blockbuster. Once upon a time, before there were apps and Netflix and everything, there was a thing called Blockbuster. And I would go with my two older children, Timberland and Jaden, once a week, and we would get shows. And my daughter is a very influential person and sneaky as can be. I'm going to tell you another story about her because she's here. But it doesn't have to do with anything, but it'll be funny. So anyway, we'd go, and I would let Timberland and Jaden get two movies. And she would convince Jaden that he wanted a movie that she wanted. And then to, like, sweeten the deal, she'd say, and you can watch yours first. And the whole time, she was getting both of her movies. The whole time. That is a woman of influence. Second thing, I'm going to tell this story because it's so funny. When she was young, she loved those carts. She still does. I think she just used one in Target. But you know those carts that you use when you can't walk? You get the carts. So she would walk around the grocery store a little bit gimpy, like, so the people who worked there would see her, and then she'd get in the cart and drive it around the grocery store. Now, my son Jaden had no such luck. He would get in it, and like in a nanosecond, they'd be like, get off that cart! He'd be like all stressed out. Anyway, I don't know why, I just remember that. It was really funny. So, anyway. So, that was funny, remember that? She's like, yeah, I do. Anyway. So, you're called to influence. Make a change. Start small. Doesn't have to be big. Don't wait for the right time. There is no right time. There will never be a right time. You'll never have enough money. It will never be the right time. No one's going to call you into it. None of it. Just do it. Okay? When did you last ask, where are you going, Lord? And how can I follow you? Because he is going somewhere, and he wants to take you with him. But he's going to go with or without you. You have that choice. And break. So that is the end of my teaching. I want to do one thank you. So this is to the youth, whether they're here or not. I couldn't think of a way until yesterday, and the Lord brought this song to me. And those of you guys who are older will remember the movie To Sir With Love, and you'll remember the song. You guys who are younger, you will not. And then I was listening to it, going through it, and so in the 90s, there was two bands that I really liked, REM and 10,000 Maniacs, right? Aging myself there, too. And what I didn't know was they did a remake together, Michael Stipe and Natalie Merchant, remade the song To Sir With Love in 1992. And in 1992 is when I went to my Ed's church. And I felt like the Lord was saying, Aaron, I knew you'd be here now. So I'm going to read this, and I'm going to cry. Hope someone took bets on that one. Probably make a pot of money. And it is kind of, I didn't know how to say to all of you guys. And Lisa, where are you, Lisa? There you are. And I have no words to say thank you for how much I deeply love you, and having you in my life all of these years. And those of you who are young, some of you got the best of us. And those of you who are older, some of you got the best of us, because the older ones got us jamming as many people into a small car as we could, driving to an Anaheim conference illegally, including two kids in a trunk, which was super fun. And this generation's like, wait, you never did that with us. The older generation, it's just like a family. You got way more money and way more bougie stuff, and we did stuff. It's all a win. So I'm going to read this to you, and I'm just changing one word, and I'm going to cry. So this is to you guys, to the youth. Thank you. Those school days of telling tales and biting nails are gone. But in my mind, sorry, dang it, I want someone else to read it. Anele will still live on and on. But how do you thank someone who's taken you from crayons to perfume? It isn't easy, but I'll try. If you wanted the sky, I would write across the sky in letters that would soar 1,000 feet high to youth with love. The time has come for closing books, and long last looks must end. And as I leave, I know I'm leaving my best friend. A friend who taught me right from wrong and weak from strong. It's a lot to learn. What can I give you in return? If you wanted the moon, I would try to make a start. But I would rather you let me give my heart to youth with love. And I just want to say thank you for loving me, for showing up at my house, for being my kids' friends, for being my friend, for doing life together. I really am a better person because of you. I made better choices. I showed up better. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you. And that's the end.
Praise you. So they sort of go together, and quite independently as well, as you could tell. And Lord, we just want to thank you for all of the memories that have been and the memories that will be, because you're not dead yet.
Thank God. Well, it's a
win. We're just changing some sort of clothing here. I'm not sure where it all goes from here, but you're not either. But I want to just leave... always, I know, with regard to ministry, it doesn't matter, you know, whether it's Janice and I independently, we always seem to be together in it, right? It's, the ministry is, and I think life is never, when you're married, one or the other. It's always both. It's just sort of different nuances at different times and responsibilities and things like that and stuff. But you go together, so that's why I want you to be up here. And
I like peanut butter and jelly.
Yes. Yeah, it looks like it. A peanut butter and jelly. Yes, very nice. You know, I was sitting here thinking. I'm sitting there thinking. First of all, I want to make sure we bless you verbally. Right? And so, if I said we bless you in the name of Jesus, okay, fine. If I said, if you're standing up here and we said, we curse you in the name of the devil, you would shrivel up. I know people that would go down under the floor, crawl like a worm for 3 weeks. But see how much more we do sometimes with negative than positive. But if we say we bless you in the name of Jesus, we mean it with all of our heart. I believe our words stick, right? They mean something. And of course, by God's grace, we will not only bless them with our mouth now, but also he's always going to be our friend. And I don't see how you're going to be off staff. You'll always be on staff regardless of whether you say you're on staff or not.
Those kids graduate and then they like don't have anywhere to go, so they go back home. Like, that's me.
Yeah.
I'm graduating, but I'm like going home.
But I'd like to pray something for you real quick. Lord, this is a woman who never sits on her hands. She's always doing something. And you're always moving her to do something, and you're always talking to her, as we obviously know, from knowing her, but also from hearing her. So, Lord, I think that she would be really blessed, and I know you're already ahead of me on this, if you just give her some really specific instructions over the next year or two of where she fits and what she's supposed to do now. And you do that, and you would just interact with her just like you always do, and she'd say no 100 times, then she'd say yes, then no, then yes, then finally she'd end up saying yes. So we know that about her already. So we thank you for that whole thing is going to happen in advance, that whatever change you're making in her, it's going to be a good one because she listens to you. And we just pray, God, as she makes these next choices, they would be so fun and so good for her, so meaningful for her. For both of them, actually. But this is about Aaron today. And I just pray, God, whatever step she takes, you would go ahead of her, like you always do. And I pray, God, we would all see it, and we'd all be blessed by it. And we're already blessed by what she said, because each one of us have our own path, our own trail to go on. But, Lord, we're talking about her today. And she's helped many people find their trail, find their way, find where they're supposed to do. But we're asking a special trail for her, a special one, Lord, in this time that would be even better than the one she's been on, even more blessed than she would be on. And I know, Lord, one of her trails is that she would like her children to be blessed and do really, really well. So that's one thing she would really like to see. But there's other things you have in mind for her. She's not a person that probably easily sits still. So Lord, we pray you would find what her next thing is, things are, and it would just be like a bowl full of jelly. It would be so much fun for her. I don't know why I said bowl full of jelly. Anyway, it'll be so much. I don't know where that came. Oh, good. She's a peanut butter jelly person. Okay, good. So, Lord, I pray you fill her bowl. I fill her path for both of them. And obviously, the thing is, with regard to her path, it's going to be involved with Brent, right? So they're going to be both on some paths here, maybe, and new ones and refreshing ones and blessed ones. And, you know, I was just thinking, Aaron, if it's okay with you, I'd like to do a little ministry time. What I was getting from what you were saying is it's so important. It's not just important to be you. That's important. But when you and God come together for what you're supposed to do, it's wonderful. It's amazing, right? So life's kind of this thing where we try to figure out what we're supposed to do, and hopefully by God's grace, it's what he wants us to do, and then we find it, right? But I think you could pray wonderfully that we would hit the target for our life, because there's a lot of people. I don't suppose anybody out there has any decisions to make. Anybody have any decisions to make out there, right? But wouldn't it be something if you prayed for them that they would give, it's not something they would hit, that they would have the ability like you have to adapt and to go with the flow where God's going, even when you didn't want to, even when you said no at first, right? And that would be an amazing gift, that God would release that over a whole bunch of people here, that you would release that anointing, the ability to go with God no matter what, and to be honest all the way through, be totally honest and have an authentic relationship with the Lord. I think a lot of us have authentic relationships with the Lord, but then, okay, now what do I do next? And to really respond when God even says something that maybe doesn't sound like a perfect plan for you, but it is, you know it, and then eventually you get to doing it, but you've done that your whole life. And you've raised a whole group of people to do that. And you've been so real and authentic that it gave them room to be authentic. But also, you found the trail. You found what you're supposed to do. You did it, right? So it's nice to be authentic. But if you find what you're supposed to do, that'd be something. So could you pray for the people? And John, why don't you just, I'd like that people take some time. Could you just do some worship just for a minute? She wants you to dance. He doesn't dance well. You don't want to do that. No, he inherited his father gifting, not his mother. She dances really well. But anyway, so what I'd like to do is, if you don't mind, maybe you could pray that whoever would like to come in response to this, we could just do a brief thing here. I want to find God's will for my life right now, and I want to do it in an authentic way. You know, even if I don't agree at first, it's nothing more important than find the will of God for my life. If that was what you would like today, come to the front. I think there's special grace. I'm going to have her pray for you, that you would respond. Ultimately, you would respond. You would do what you're supposed to do. Maybe you don't even have a clue what you're supposed to do. Maybe it's only one decision right ahead of you. Maybe it has to do I do this or I do that? But maybe it's a longer trail. Lord, what's the purpose for my life? Who am I? What am I supposed to do? Right? And so we'll just do some worship as we're praying, but look at all these coming forward. If you could just spread out across that way, you know, and if some of us who pray for people, you might want to just put your hand on their shoulder. Maybe Aaron will come down there and pray for you a little bit, Brent or something. But I can just feel feel the result of what you were saying here. It's just all in the room, and you never want to leave when God speaks to you about something or touches you or something or says something to you. It's so important to respond to it, because that's why she was here in the first place, right? And this is, it's never goodbye with her. It will be goodbye, hello, goodbye, go, hello, goodbye, hello, I'm sure. But nevertheless, this is a swing in her life, a change, some kind of change she's making right now, the instigation of the Lord. So let's all lift a hand out for her. And it's going to be a change for Brent, because Brent's you and you're Brent in some ways, and then you're independent too. That's the way marriage works. So we pray for both of them and individually that this next step would be the authentic step for Brent and her alone, and that it would be a lovely path as she discovers it, and she would walk it, have the courage to walk it, and that there'd be great glory and great, great fruit out of these next steps that she takes as she's stepping it in faith, in Jesus' name.
And Lord, right now, we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come. I just saw a lot of people in the room right now had question marks over their heads. And I saw them asking, what's next? What's next? What do I do? What's next? And so, Lord, I pray that you would take those question marks and you would release answers. That you would release answers. If that's you and you're looking for an answer and you want a next step, just put your hands up to the Lord, because I really believe that there's answers in this room. There are answers, and we bless that. We bless jobs. We bless where you're supposed to live. How are you supposed to do this? And we bless right now in Jesus' name the shift and the change. Maybe you thought you were going in one direction. You thought that this was it, and the Lord is changing that direction. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. What am I supposed to do? And so right now I felt like the Lord said the first step is, who do you belong to? So let the Lord just sit on that for a second. Let him brood over you. Who do you belong to? The Lord would always say, Aaron, who do you belong to? And I'm like, you. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. Thank you, Jesus. What is next? What is next? Thank you, Lord. More. Yep, and we release, Lord, right now that courage to take the next step. What does that look like? I'm going to say, Lainey, what do Friday nights look like? What does that look like? Aubrey, what does worship look like? Don Patagonin, what does it look like? What does the Lord say? What's next? Because there is a next. There is a next. There is a next. Yeah, and I feel like some of you guys, you've been pounding at a door, and it hasn't been opening. But I felt like the Lord said, the door's about to open. Jessica, the door's about to open. There's an open door. Lord says, you've been used to a closed door policy. And I break that off in Jesus' name. He's an open door God. He's an open door God. You need to take that. Yep, because the Lord said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And this is just the beginning. Get used to being overwhelmed. Some of you need to get used to being overwhelmed with good things, not overwhelmed with bad things. Weaver family, what does that look like in your house? It's been overwhelming. Let's just turn the chase of the tide. Can someone find Kachin? There's a word for Kachin. The Lord said, there she is. Naomi, go pray for Kachin. What the heck? Yep. Yep. The Lord said, there's a good word over your life. There's a good word over your life, and you don't have to speak it, and you don't have to believe it, and there's a good word. There's a good word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. More Holy Spirit. Yeah, just take a second. Press into him. He's got something to say. We release the fullness of healing over you, Paulette. Right now, the fullness of healing. Can someone pray for Paulette? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Ivy, Olivia, Paulette's right next to you. Pray for her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Amana kalakash kokumana amana.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com, and we'll see you next time.